Welcome to today's Let's Talk Knoxville. I'm Andrew Swadner. On today's program, we talk with State Representative Greg Hartzell about what he's been working on at the Iowa State House.
Well, recently, House advanced HJR 2009, which seeks to add the right to keep and bear arms language into the Iowa Constitution. Representative, that's already in the Second Amendment. What is the reasoning behind this language and adding it to the Iowa Constitution and how it relates to the United States Constitution?
Certainly, and thank you, Andrew, for the opportunity to share this time. This is 44 states already currently have right to keep and bear arm language in their state constitutions. Iowa is only one of only six states that do not have those protections. The push for this has come from a couple of different areas. One, to modernize the language that we understand within our federal constitution in the Second Amendment, because there's this debate that's been going on for a long time. Is this an individual right or is this a collective right? And so this there's two landmark decisions recently, the Heller versus District of Columbia case in 2008 and the McDonald versus Chicago case in 2010 that solidified that this is a fundamental individual right that belongs to citizens. And also the Heller decision give us the precedent that this is something that is not just not a second-class right. This is being a fundamental right. It's something that deserves strict scrutiny. And so with those two legal precedents handed to us by the Supreme Court, the push was to incorporate this into our state constitution because, court cases can be overturned. And, in fact, during the 2016 presidential election, Hillary Clinton, presidential candidate, was declaring repeatedly that her push to put people on the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn both the Heller and the McDonald precedent. And so that's why it was important for us as a state to make sure that it's recognized as an individual fundamental right that's already been established in precedent at the federal level, but it's still something important to recognize at the state level as well.
Well, another thing that's going on right now in the Iowa House was actually a lot of great news for Iowans. Was you're addressing the lack of affordable health care for Iowans. So that's something that affects everyone. Talk about the two bills that were rolled together. I know that's kind of been an issue that's been huge throughout the State House this year and really every year leading up to this. Talk about the two bills that have been rolled together and how they'll help deal with affordable health care for Iowans.
Certainly. Thank you. And the first one is called the Multiple Employer Welfare Arrangement. The acronym is MEWA, or MEWA for short. And this was brought about by proposed changes in the Federal Department of Labor rules that allow more types of employers and groups to group together and form associations for the purpose of creating a larger risk pool in obtaining health insurance. And so the MEWA bill that we passed, that was the one of the two that you mentioned that you referenced, is just allowing this to move forward within the state. And a MEWA offered in Iowa by the bill, provisions in this bill would be subject to the insurance regulations in the state of Iowa and has to comply with the regulations oversight of the insurance commissioner. So a MEWA is insurance. The other portion of that is called a health benefit plan. A health benefit plan acts like insurance, but technically is not insurance. But it's something that has been available to Iowans from about 1969 up until the Affordable Care Act was implemented in 2010. And now that the cost of premiums just skyrocketing in the wake of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, this was looked at as a way to give meaningful action and correction to the problems we see with ACA and reduce premiums as much as one-third to one-fourth of what people are paying now in the individual health insurance market. And so while it's not technically insurance, it is subject to oversight by the insurance commissioner. Now, I'm going to harken back to something we did a few weeks ago. I know we talked about before was something called direct primary care agreements that allows patients and healthcare providers to enter into like a contract agreement that that provides preventative and curative health care. That's also something that we have passed in the House. So there's, with the two this week, or the two that were rolled into one, and the direct primary care agreement that we passed a few weeks ago, people are stepping back and they're saying, wow, this seems like there's a lot of patchwork that's going on with regards to the health care issue. But, you know, this is all brought to us by the Affordable Care Act, what was called the Affordable Care Act. And because it is literally destroyed the individual health insurance market, this is, and because Congress has been unable to address that here and take meaningful action in the last since this last election, this is what states have to do. And so, is it perfect? Is it the ideal situation? Heavens no. But it is what we are trying to do to address the high cost of health care premiums, and this is the best we can do at this time.
Thanks to Representative Greg Hartzell for joining us on today's program. You can find today's news 24 hours a day at KNIAKRLS.com.